Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Jet Press Podcast. My name is Mike Luciano, and you may notice there is no Justin Fried this week. He is jet-setting across the world. He believes in Malaysia right now. So, yeah, he is really trotting the globe here. So we're going to hold down the fort until he's back. He'll be back next week. We'll have the regular co-host, meet myself, Mike Luciano, and Justin Fried. But until then, we have a special guest host. We are thrilled. For our second ever guest host, we have Mike Gerapudo, who some Jet Press readers may know is a Jet Press contributor in the Fansided Network. So, Mike, feel free to introduce yourself to the Jet Press podcast fandom.
Oh, well, first of all, Mike, great to be here. We saw that comment from Joshua. Justin looks different. Well, I've been doing ESPN radio for 104.5 The Team. That's in the Capital Region, New York. That's been for the past around 4 months. So we talk a little bit. We do a lot of New York sports on there. We talk some Jets. I'm a huge Jets fan. This is why I started writing for the Jet Press. That started around 3 months ago. So it's great to be here and just to be able to talk just Jets. Because we get, you know, I get my fill talking on the radio about Jets, but just to be able to go an hour straight about the Jets is something that's a good thing. So we're excited to do it. Let's do it.
Well, we'll go about maybe 55 minutes of straight Jets because I got to get some housekeeping out of the way first, because you can always find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We are on all those sites. 5-star reviews would really help. Again, we are not egomaniacal maniacs. It's just to help us on the business end of things and juice us up that iTunes algorithm. So that's a way to support the show. You could also go on YouTube at the Jet Press. We have a ton of great shorts we just put out. You guys really seem to like those. We got a ton of them, a few more in the chamber. Likes on the stream, they really help. Subscriptions, they really help. If you want to support the show, you can do it that way. But we got a busy day. I'm sure that you guys know schedule releases today. But even before that, we were going to do a full schedule release show. And then, what do you know, Connor Hughes just giving us some manna from heaven with some more ammo to go after. Probably our two biggest punching bags from last year. Well, two of our three, because Zach Wilson is gone. Nathaniel Hackett and Alan Lazard. We'll get to Hackett first, because there were some moves being discussed that are just mind-boggling, and it really gave me some concern in just the way that this team is run. It doesn't make sense. It's complete ass backwards land. So we'll get into Nathaniel Hackett first, because Hughes said that the Jets made legitimate attempts this offseason to hire someone that would essentially replace Hackett. So not a new offensive coordinator. They weren't going to fire him and bring somebody else, and they were going to get like a passing game coordinator who would call plays but also not be called offensive coordinator. None of this makes sense.
Well, of course.
It just confuses me because what other team has run like this? I mean, we said for months and months and months on the Jet Press show, any other organization, Hackett's gone. And the Jets, in doing this, are saying the only reason that Nathaniel Hackett's our offensive coordinator well, there are two reasons, not the only reason. There are two main reasons. Number one, he's friends with Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's a fact at this point. Nobody would deny it.
Yeah.
That's half the reason he's employed. The other half is because he's not even a good offensive coordinator. He's just hands off. Because Hughes also said that Rodgers would oftentimes just completely ignore the play call and make his own play call. So that's a sign of a really good coaching staff offensively, when one of your best assets are, the quarterback doesn't even listen to them half the time. The Jets have good offensive personnel, but if you hand them to this inept coaching staff, which is still around, I mean, they're going to be fine. Just on a base level, they're much more talented. And obviously, I don't think Rodgers' leg is going to explode again, but you hand him to morons like Hackett and Keith Carter, who, if you know your offensive line coach by name, as well as Jets fans do, that's a huge problem. And I, if other teams know your offensive line coach by name, because so many former players hate Keith Carter, that's a problem. If you hand him to guys like this, I don't have any confidence really that things are going to be drastically different. They're going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Hackett's calling the plays. What's going to change really? And they apparently have so much confidence in this guy that they don't even want him to be the full-time offensive coordinator. No other team operates like this. Good, bad, mediocre. Only the Jets operate like this. It's confusing as all hell.
As a Jets fan, you like to kind of look back to those days in Green Bay, like with Hackett. You know, he was there in 21. He was there in 22. Rodgers, 20 and 21, Rodgers had those MVP seasons. But now it's like Rodgers is almost the de facto GM of this team. And last year, I didn't like to admit that, but we're kind of – we are where we're at right now. And I've seen the past year of events and just how this team has been ran and all the stuff that came out during last year, all the stuff about Hackett and even towards last year, Lazard just saying simply after some games, we were unprepared. Just we were unprepared for this. We were unprepared for that. So it's – I don't know.
There was that report earlier too where they would say Hackett wouldn't talk to the coaches until like the Friday before the game.
Yeah. There are better offensive coordinators that we could have hired over the offseason. There were better ones we could have hired last offseason. But we are where we are, and we have Rodgers, and that's part of the price of getting Rodgers, not only what we had to give up, but just – you need to surround him with his guys. He's been in the league for almost 20 years. So it's like you need to surround him with the guys he's familiar with. But when you give someone like Rodgers the keys to the car, you can't then block the driveway. Like you got to keep these guys around. Is unfortunate. I know some people wanted Saligon. I don't think I was fully on that. I understood it, but I don't think I was fully on board with that. You know, he's a defensive coach. The defense is good. What can you do with Zach Wilson? But with Hackett, it's just not, there's not a lot of encouraging things going forward. We can only, as I said, look back at those years in Green Bay, but I don't know. We'll see with Hackett.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort. Thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Vote and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Well, at least in Green Bay, too, you had Matt LaFleur, who, if things didn't go well, I mean, he was a great offensive coordinator with the Rams. He did an okay job, I think, considering all the problems he had, was handed, rather, in Tennessee before he got hired to coach the Packers. Like, if Hackett was performing poorly, if he was coordinating bad, you had a guy who's a really sharp offensive mind, who's a pretty good head coach as well, to lean back on. Mm-hmm. You don't have that anymore. That was, if Saleh gets fired after this year, that was the death knell, was not only hiring Hackett. It's one thing to hire Hackett because he's Rodgers guy. Like, we get all that. He's 40 years old. He probably doesn't want to learn new terminology or a whole new offense. Like,
sure. Yeah.
We get all that. But the way that Saleh just handed him over everything.
Yeah.
No guardrails. Like, this is entirely Hackett's show. And then on top of that, he doubles down because he goes, not only am I going to hire Hackett, but I am going to surround him with the entire coaching staff of the Tennessee Titans, who got a fantastic coach in Mike Vrabel fired because of their offense. And we're going to hire Todd Downing, who, by the way, got in a DUI and almost killed somebody. The DUI. Yep. I don't expect Todd Downing.
Yeah.
Keith Carter, who we know about Keith Carter right now, about how bad he is.
Yep.
And then at least Tony Dews can say, look, I coached Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. So you could at least lean on that. He's probably the best of them. And then they tried to hire Sean Jefferson and Rob Moore, who was the Titans wide receivers coach. Like, the way that they're surrounding a guy who they obviously know stinks and they know can't fire him. Like, Hackett's got to feel great because unless Rodgers leaves, he's got a job permanently. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to show up.
Yeah, and that might be
Rodgers
the case.
Going to go, I'm not playing unless you keep Hackett.
Yeah,
it's the way he just leached his way into this guy, despite the fact that he has not been a good coordinator anywhere. He had one fluke year in Jacksonville, and then Buffalo he was bad. Green Bay without Roger, like it's really disheartening, and that's why I can't get too amped up. We're going, it's championship. We're finally going to break through this year.
Yeah,
because a lot of teams give their coordinators different levels of responsibility.
Sure.
You see that across the league. It'd be one thing if Hackett was like that, or like a Kyle Shanahan OC where he doesn't really do anything. He's just like a sounding board. But
yeah,
I mean, he's basically the assistant head coach in charge of the offense with how much power he has. And because Rodgers is overruling him, he's now basically the assistant head coach and the coordinator and the GM. I mean, and when he went down last year, everything went to hell. How do you know that might not happen again? He's 40 off an Achilles. This has a lot of potential to just really blow up in their face. I'm scared a little bit.
Yeah, I look around the Jets roster and not much concerns me about the actual makeup of this team. Like, we did such a good job in rebuilding the O-line this offseason. One thing I could point at, maybe the safety room. Like, that'd probably be my biggest concern on the entire roster. But you look around and, like, the one thing that concerns me is Saleh when it comes to a little bit when it comes to just game management. And we break down over the second half of that. I mean, 2 years in a row over the second half of the season, it's just flat. Like, it's,
what are you going to?
No, exactly. And I was going to say, you could point to the quarterback play, and our quarterback play was not only bad, but historically bad. Like, you can only do so much with that. But with Hackett, you're right. He almost has this leash of just, hey, as long as Rodgers is here and he's still your buddy and you guys are still getting along, then you have a job. And this is what the offense is. But it goes without saying, but the fact that we weren't able to see Rodgers in action last year just kind of resets where we were going into last year. And there are Rodgers is off an Achilles injury. That's not a good thing, but there is a little something positive because in reality, were we ready to really compete? I don't know. I'm not sure if we were ready to really compete in the AFC last year with that offensive line. Like, I know we had higher expectations going in for guys like Becton, guys like Dwayne Brown, and thank Christ we don't have to talk about those guys anymore because
Dwayne Brown at least freaking tried. He was playing with his arm in his sling. Becton, I mean, good riddance. I mean, I'm glad he landed with the Eagles. That's a good spot for him, but I mean, that game against Miami,
God. Yeah, no, it's, but there are some encouraging things. There are some just, The roster itself is a lot better this year as opposed to last year, but you look at Hackett and there's not a lot that inspires confidence. Like you said, like, as a coordinator, what has he done? And as a coordinator, when he's been a good coordinator, he's also had Matt LaFleur, who's one of the brightest minds. Look at Jordan Love. Jordan Love, what he's been able to do in his first year. I know he sat for 3 years and there's benefits to that, but like, just what he was able to do in his first year, mainly in the second half, but in his first year and what LaFleur was able to do with him. You wonder how much of it was not only the talent of Rodgers, but also LaFleur coaching, and Hackett just there and Rodgers was just killing everything at the line. Like, is that how it was? I don't know.
That's why I think he likes him. I mean, we discussed this, I think it was after the Raiders game.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of Hackett's worst games, was that Raiders game on Sunday night.
Sure.
And we came to the conclusion, I think this is kind of proving it out, that he just hated Mike McCarthy because Mike McCarthy could be a, kind of a prick sometimes, and he can be a little bit ornery, and he doesn't always let Rodgers do whatever he wants. And Nathaniel Hackett let Aaron Rodgers do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. Not even any, there's not even any schematic innovation there. There's not even any great play calling. It's just, he lets me do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And that is the sole reason for that. Because if you look at Hackett's offense, there's bad offenses, but I can at least see what they're trying to do. Like, I remember at the end of Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona, it wasn't working, but I'm like, all right, I see what they're trying to do. This kind of NFL version of an air raid thing. Even when Kyle Shanahan, before he got Garoppolo and Brock Purdy, like, I saw what he was trying to do offensively. He just had Brian Hoyer and Nick Mullins, and he couldn't really execute it. Like, you can see what they want to do. What are Hackett's offensive trademarks? Are they power run? Are they Shanahan? Are they air it out team? Like, it seems I hate to bring this name up because his name is just poison around here, but it's very Adam Gase. And Adam Gase, I thought, was actually Adam Gase had a better feel. Like, he could scheme things up a little better. Like, he was good in the week beforehand. Like, he always started out pretty well.
Yeah.
He just couldn't adjust. Hackett didn't even do that.
No.
Rodgers might, but Hackett doesn't.
And just the fact that we're talking about Adam Gase in a positive light in 2024 when we're talking about the Jets is something that's insane and something that shouldn't be happening. I like how
he hasn't gotten a job. He hasn't even been like an analyst anywhere, I don't think.
No.
He hasn't coached anywhere in 5 years. That's how bad it was.
No, just that fake report from, what was it, NYJ Matt?
NYJ Matt, he's coaching Lincoln high school.
Yeah. But, I think Gase had at least more of a vision. You're right. With Hackett, I just can't. I'm not sure. There is no identity on offense. And every good team, you look at any good team in the NFL, they have an identity.
Even bad teams have identities. You just can't execute them. Hackett doesn't.
No, and that's what Rodgers, maybe that's just what Rodgers likes at this point in his career. Like, that's what he's liked and that's what he's grown accustomed to. And when you're so good over such a long period of time, who is going to tell you no, especially when you're the Jets? Like, you've been searching for a quarterback for God knows how long. So it's tough to tell him no. It's tough to say, we're not going to hire Hackett. Well, the hiring of Hackett and the signing of Lazard and Billy Turner and Randall Cobb, that came before we even knew we were going to get Rodgers. But, like, we knew we were going
to
get Rodgers.
It was to entice him, but, yeah.
Exactly, poison. But, like, to give Lazard that much money, and like, and you see Connor, he was talking about in his Jets mailbag, like when Lazard first got there last offseason, he was having trouble like justifying to himself, like, how the hell do they give him all this money? Because he can't even separate. He doesn't excel at any part of the game. So, like, you look at some of the decisions that have been made and you kind of shake your head, but like, I'm still going to be in favor of the Rodgers decision. Rodgers over guys like, let's say, looking back to last offseason, Rodgers over guys like Derek Carr. Like, in the AFC, you have to go, it's as simple as you have to go all in. You have to beat Mahomes, you have to beat Josh Allen, you have to beat Lamar Jackson. So I understood going for Rodgers and satisfying him in those ways, like getting guys like Hackett. But look, I didn't hate the Hackett hiring at the time of it. But you look at last year, and granted, look, he had Zach Wilson, Tim Boyle, and Trevor Siemian, who not much to work with.
No one can win with that.
But damn, like, you some of the play call, like, it was so predictable. Like, we'd be sitting, as Jets fans, I'd be sitting on the couch, like, okay, it's going to be Breece Hall on first down, and then a loss of yardage, and then incomplete. Like, it felt like the same thing. It's like Groundhog Day, but nothing's funny about it. Like, it's not. I don't know. I need to see what he can do with Rodgers, but. Damn, I don't know. That's the only thing going into the season that's not encouraging about this Jets team to me.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Marino has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Marino take us backwards.
we can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Vote and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, askmepeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Brian in chat, our unofficial statistician in chat, saying pretzel wide receiver routes, 55-yard field goals, and praying at the altar of a punter or the Nathaniel Hackett offense. I believe you forgot wide receivers running into each other on routes. That happened a lot, too.
Yes, it did.
Earlier in the year. And, of course, remember that trick play where Garrett Wilson, like, hurt his shoulder and then, like, he had him throw a pass the next play in the Raiders game?
Yes, oh, my God. That Raiders game was one of the most frustrating. That's how you know you got a big brain genius,
who, by the way, is a Nepo baby because his dad, Paul Hackett, was a coach who also was a horrible Jets offensive coordinator. You think they learn. And Woody hired. That was during when Woody owned the team. He hired Paul Hackett.
Yeah.
And Nathaniel's worse. At least Paul had a good running game. Nathaniel doesn't. But one of the big mistakes that the Jets have made in the last couple of years, I think it's firm to call it a mistake now, was Alan Lazard.
Yeah, oh my God.
A move that I looked foolish for because of it. I go back and forth with Justin sometimes because our big misses from last year was he was all in on Carl Lawson having a bounce back year.
Sure.
And I was all in on Alan Lazard. And neither of them worked out. Just as Lazard, I mean, we saw there were problems with him, and I know that he wasn't amazing in Green Bay, but big guy, fast guy for his size, and he made some big plays for the Packers. Yeah. I don't know how having Aaron Rodgers helping fit the ball in the tight windows. That obviously helps as a wide receiver, but like he was going to get a big multi-year contract. It wasn't like the Jets just got suckered into things.
No,
there was a market for Alan Lazard. Then he comes to the Jets, and I get there's Zach Wilson, but I think it might have been after, I think it was like the Chargers-Raiders games back-to-back. After that, he just couldn't do anything. It was frightening. It was like he just was lost. It was shocking. And Lazard is still on the roster, but the absolute best-case scenario, he's wide receiver 3 with the slimmest margin of error. He's probably going to be wide receiver 4 because Malachi Corley, by the end of the year, I think will definitely overtake him as the number two wide receiver.
Who do you think enters week one? Is that wide receiver 3? Because you know how much Saleh and Douglas love Malachi. They spent all of day 2 trying to trade up to get Malachi Corley. I think he was their wide receiver 4 on the entire board, which is ridiculous. But like, how does he not, if you're Saleh and you loved him that much, I know he's not in charge of the offense technically, but he is the head coach of the team, but like, is he not wide receiver 3 going into the year? Like, you saw what Lazard did last year. Just his general attitude wasn't great towards the end of last year. So he might be wide receiver 3 going into the year, Malachi Corley.
Well, looking at last year, though, how long did it take them to bench the veterans and put the young guys in?
Too long.
Even guys they liked.
Yeah. Uzama Cook. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And again, it's Aaron Rodgers, and you know he's very prickly, and he wants things done a certain way. Hackett, and it can take younger guys a while to get acclimated. I mean, we saw that early on in Green Bay when, you know, Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs and these other guys, like it took them a while because you gotta, he's not going to tolerate you running a route 10 yards when it's supposed to be 12 yards and then he overthrows you like that. That can take a while. So it all depends. I think it depends on Malachi himself primarily, but man, things are looking bleak for Lazard because Connor Hughes was also asked about Lazard and I feel like he's hinting he almost might be an inactive player because first off, I found kind of a funny anecdote where he said that he talked to people from Green Bay and they're like, look, did he just like check out after he got paid? And they're like, no, this is what he was the whole time, which that's not what you want to hear about a $44 million player.
No.
And then he goes into detail about how Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams, Malachi Corley, and Xavier Gibson are going to be locks to be active on game day. Gibson's got return ability. He's a special teams guy. He's got speed. Gibson's probably going to be active on game days. Then you look at Lazard and then the special teams guys, Brownlee, Irv Charles, Malik Taylor. Well, Lazard can't play special teams. So yeah. If Gibson becomes the wide receiver four, and then you have Irv Charles as just like a special teams gunner guy, that might be it for Alan Lazard. He may not be active. And there may be a chance where before the end of the year, this is going to be I'm going to make a prediction. Hold me to it.
Okay.
By the trade deadline, I feel like he's gone. I feel like they do a Brock Osweiler traded to the Browns thing where they may attach a future pick because they have some now. They got next to third from the Lions on draft day. Maybe they take that Lions pick and go, we'll give you this pick. Just get rid of them and just admit. I'd rather they do that. I'd rather they admit that they completely messed up and that Lazard just didn't work than just keep trying to replicate what he did in Green Bay.
Yeah, I think that's the soonest they could do it, right? Like they can't release him now. They take a huge cap hit. So I think I'm pretty sure. Well, how much of that money is guaranteed? I don't think too much of it was guaranteed. Like it was for that big of a contract, if I can remember correctly. I think it was somewhere in the 20s.
I think it was close to that.
I think they could.
Go, 22 million, so half of it guaranteed.
So I think they could wait until after the season. I don't know, but who is going to want him?
Nobody's going to want him. Unless you're the most patient man in the world. I know patience is a virtue, but unless you're the most patient wide receiver coach in the world, you can't get a guy. You can't sell low on a guy more than this.
I think we knew going in. I mean, there were a lot of there were about 100 contracts you could point to in the NFL in a certain NFL offseason where you go, that guy's overpaid, that guy's overpaid, that guy's overpaid. But that's just how the market is, especially at wide receiver. Look at Lazard last season getting 11 a year. And you kind of think, all right, it's a lot of money for a guy like Alan Lazard, but he's familiar with Rodgers. He's produced, you know, I think he had a 10-touchdown season the season prior to that. So
younger guy.
And not only was he wasn't supposed to be our two. We still had, well, he was supposed to be like 2/3. We forgot about Corey Davis, who decided to retire a few weeks before the season. So like we put ourselves into a bad situation. Like we wanted, I don't know about you, but last year in the first round, I would have wanted a guy like Jaxon Smith-Njigba or Jordan Addison. Like that's kind of what
I have kind of a weird thought on that because originally I was fine with the Will McDonald pick because number one, I liked him as a prospect.
Okay.
And I overestimated their depth. And I just thought, you know what, let's just take BPA because
they're
pretty set at a lot of spots. And then it turns out that they weren't and they probably could have needed something a little there.
Yeah.
But also,
I
don't hate BPA because these guys are kids. You know, these guys were senior prom 4 years ago. You don't draft a guy like that to change your championship fortunes. But
yeah,
looking back on it, maybe Zay Flowers would have been okay.
And Will McDonald's still like there's still things there. But just the fact that some games last year, our first rounder is a healthy scratch on a season where we're supposed to be all in. You look at it and you're kind of like, could we have used a guy like JSN? Could we have used a guy like Addison? And the original pick was supposed to be O-line, but the Patriots, in typical Patriot fashion, screwed us over.
Didn't they want Jahmyr Gibbs? Wasn't that a rumor, too?
I think they loved Gibbs, too, but he ended up – what did he end up go up, 12th?
12th of the Lions.
Yeah. I think we would have gotten – which would have been – I mean, Breece and Gibbs would have been by far the best running back duo and all. I think Breece is probably the second or third best running back in football as it stands right now, depending on – I think it's McCaffrey, and depending on where you have Nick Chubb off the injury, but –
I guess Henry's not as multifaceted, but
yeah. No, I can't put him there anymore. Like maybe, you know, 2-3 years ago, Henry's absolutely two. He's maybe
healthy one. Saquon, but you never know. But
yeah, I don't know. Like I've just seen, well, the argument between Saquon and Breece, I've just seen it. Like I've seen Breece produce, like he almost had 1600 yards on a historically bad offense last year.
Nothing.
So like I'm, and just looking at some of the plays he made, it's just pure talent. As somebody who watches every Jets game, as somebody who watches every single second of football that they possibly can, Breece Hall just absolutely goes off the page. But getting back to what we were actually talking about in Alan Lazard, you just don't like to – I don't want them to give up on Lazard because Rodgers, you know, maybe Lazard kind of checked out. I don't want to say he checked out, but after Rodgers went down, what do you think he's thinking? Because so many of the guys, not only Lazard, but so many of the guys that came to the Jets – during the last offseason were there because of Rodgers and the actual and to be in New York and the actual Super Bowl aspirations that came. It's weird. The Super Bowl and Jets in the same sentence is weird, but it was such a like we knew in 2022 that we had the defense, like the defense was there. And the team, you know, there was a point where what were we 6-3? maybe 7-4.
Yeah, it was after that. The worst game
seven
ever. 7-4. Beat Tommy DeVito. That's still the worst game I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, my God. It's the fact that we barely won that game.
That and Rams 9, Jets 0 with Bryce Petty. Those are the two worst games I've ever seen.
Oh, my God. I think the Rams game in which we actually won in 2020 might have been the most frustrating.
Yeah.
Who knows where we'd be at now with that. But I maybe that would have been another Zach Wilson. I think Lawrence is more talented than Zach Wilson. But, I don't think – like, look, a lot of these guys that came to play for the Jets last year, like, you see Rodgers go down and he's out for the year and you're looking at the landscape of just the AFC and even your own division and you're like, we're screwed. We don't have Rodgers. We don't have – our O-line is – it was evident how bad the O-line was within four snaps. And that's not like – he didn't – I don't want to say he got hurt simply because the O-line was bad because an Achilles injury is just – it's unlucky.
That was just a freak act of God injury.
Yeah, exactly. And but it was just evident that we weren't – with Rodgers, there was – without Rodgers, there was nothing there in terms of – you know, we were thinking – at certain points in the season, we're like, maybe we'll sneak into the playoffs, but like, who was thinking Super Bowl with whether it's Zach Wilson, whether it's Trevor Siemian or Tim friggin' Boyle? Like,
he's got another contract. It just amazes me. He's on the Texans right now.
Like, is he smart? Like, he has to be.
He's
got to
be just the coolest guy to hang out with ever.
Exactly. You got to just. He's got to be a good guy to get a beer with, or otherwise, I don't know. I don't know how he's getting
a lot of good guys. I know a lot of good guys who I can get a beer with. Yeah. Why aren't they signed?
Most of them threw more touchdowns and interceptions in college, but I guess that's where we are. How do you not, at least I don't want to say check out, but how do you not a little bit like get a little more hopeless when it comes to like the entire outlook of a season? I know they were like, we have Zach's back and we have like the, but you looked at like when Wilson got traded, who on Twitter, DJ Reed, the first tweet related to Zach Wilson was, oh, I'm going to take number two. Like, no one was like, hey, Zach, good luck. Great time with the Jets. We love you, teammate. Nobody, Reed.
John Franklin Myers was liking those tweets about how bad Zach was. He did the whole, like, oh, my bad. Somebody hacked me. It's like, okay, yeah. A guy hacked a professional football player's account, liked two tweets, and left. That's what exactly, I would do if I had that. Come on,
oh, my
man.
God. You just look around at the attitudes. I mean, last year it was hard for last year not to be a mess, and that's why
I could say too. Like, I know this is a crazy comparison, but
sure.
Like Garrett Wilson was still really good.
Yeah,
and he was clearly upset, but he didn't just give up. Lazaro looked like he gave up.
Yeah,
and that's outside of football. That's like a character thing, almost. Because you could tell at the end he was toasting.
Yeah,
even against Saleh at the end of the year, he's like, yeah, this was in the middle of last year. It might have been after the Bills game when they benched him. He's like, yeah, we got Lazar for the last year and a half. The next year and a half, you're like, you signed into a 4-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
You're already talking a year and a half and he's gone. So
yeah,
me says that I think Saleh had kind of a Freudian slip there where he said even the coaches are kind of realizing they got sold the bill of goods and kind of overvalued him. And Rodgers is going to help, obviously. But
oh, yeah. Yeah.
How much, when you're behind Williams and you're behind probably Corley, like how much are you going to get helped out anyway?
Yeah, but are we even sure? I'm just not sure the talent is even there with Lazard to begin with.
There's something there. There's more than
what we saw last year. Absolutely,
there.
Yeah.
And it's just a question of how much developmental time and energy are you willing to put in to really get anything from that? And from the looks of this, it sounds like they don't want to put any in. It sounds like they're done with them. Which I can't blame them. Why wouldn't you?
I was just going to say, can you blame them? And we drafted and receiver going into this offseason was just as big a need as it was last offseason. Like Mike Williams, I love the Mike Williams signing. I think the health concerns, I think with Mike Williams are a little, I think we're overdoing it. Like you look at
he just played what, 3 games last year though?
Yeah, no, but that was a major, I think that was a major injury. So, like, you look at the years prior, I think it was the last, I remember doing this because we were talking about it on ESPN radio. Like, I think he had only missed 9 games in the 5 seasons prior to that. Or, like, 9 games. But, so, like, yes, he's had 2 major injuries. So that's going to be there. But I expect him to play most of the season, if not all the season. If he's coming back fully healthy, then there's no reason to think he shouldn't play a good amount of these games. And Malachi Corley is a huge pick. I mean, I thought that was going to happen just because he was one of the only, I think he was one of the six receivers that we had on a top 30 visit. So, and we obviously loved him. I mean, he was a wide receiver, freaking four on the board. So like that I think was always going to happen, but Lazard, we can afford to be without because we did a good job in the off season. And I'm not sure. I don't know what you make of Jason Brownlee. I don't know how much you want to see him play. I don't think he's really going to get a lot of action.
How much do you think I want to see a Super Bowl contender play Jason Brownlee?
Yeah. it's tough to, because you look at him and you look at his college highlights and you're like, whoa, like he's made. And you look at that one, you remember that one catch he made in training camp, like the one-handed catch?
Oh, yeah, reaching back like the Odell one.
Yeah. And you're like, whoa, like why isn't this guy? Like, and then you see Lazard like kicking around a soccer ball in pregame warmups and you're like, get this guy off the field, get Jason Brownlee in. But like, I don't know. I think we have more options. So I think we could see Lazard as a healthy scratch, like later into the year, maybe not later into, maybe like week four, week five. But like, I don't see him week one. I think he'll be playing and we'll see him on the field and playing, I think, week one.
The phrase "looks like Tarzan plays like Jane" is coming to mind with with Alan Lazard. I want to get a comment from Tommy John on Facebook before we move on to our final segment. He meant Hunter Renfrow is an excellent route runner. I would like it. I banged the table for him at the trade deadline. I feel like Joe Douglas has said we're kind of tapped out financially in terms of what we can pay. So unlikely. I would like it. Because that way you don't put so much pressure on Corley. Because, I mean, the Jets famously have amazing mid-round receivers. They always hit.
Oh, yeah.
So just in case Corley takes a little bit getting up to speed in year one, we don't have to have like a Stephen Hill or a Devin Smith scenario where they get, or Darius Stewart, or you know the names, where they can just get washed out immediately.
Yeah, good guy.
Kind of a veteran mentor.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind it. I mean, he'd be cheap. It's... The fall off from him has been insane. Like, just,
well, I think part of it too is Josh McDaniels. I mean, we're complaining about Hackett, but he's not Josh McDaniels.
No.
Moving on to our final segment of the day, because it is schedule release day. Woohoo! Because I've always had lukewarm takes on schedule release day, mostly because. Okay. Like, you know the opponents beforehand, so it's mostly just a matter of organizing games that you already know where they're going to happen. So I think one way to maybe spice it up a little bit is to kind of go game by game here.
Sure.
And now keep in mind, this is unofficial. So if this is not exact, don't go after us, because at 8 o'clock tonight, you'll find out if it's official or not. But Matt O'Leary posted pretty much the entire schedule. And I've seen some minor differences, like in terms of the week two opponent, but it seems like generally, and then some of the later ones, like week 14, like where they play Miami, that might change, but seems like he mostly got it right.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already confirmed a couple of games he for sure has correct. So I'm going to go game by game here, and we can finally see where the Jets are right now.
Yeah.
So they open up the season. God, could you get a worse matchup to open up the season?
Yeah.
Monday Night Football, already bad vibes. On the road, worse vibes. San Francisco, horrendous vibes. Yeah. Rodgers' opponent, best team in the league, probably. A guy who probably knows Robert Saleh's defense as well as any offensive coordinator out there. Kyle Shanahan. What are your thoughts? I'm not feeling too optimistic about this game. I know to win the Super Bowl, you probably got to beat them because they're probably going to come out of the NFC, but not the best to start out.
It's probably the toughest opponent. It's probably the toughest game on our schedule. It's away right at San Francisco. I think it is the toughest game on our schedule. So, look, they have a chance. I would have liked to seen this game, you know, week 8, week 9, like when the offensive line, because you want to give the offense. There's three new starters on the offensive line. So I think that's the biggest part of why I'm concerned about this matchup specifically. Like, you want to give that O-line some time to gel, because you get that many new names, and sometimes it takes a little bit of time. You get a rookie wide receiver. Mike Williams is going to be in his first week. There's still a lot of new faces. There's even more faces, like more new faces than there was last season for this Jets team. So like, you would have liked to have seen, you know, you want a week one cupcake matchup. I would have taken New England at home, or I would have taken Denver at home. Like, that would have been a great matchup for the Jets. But look, the spotlight on this Jets team isn't going away as long as we have Rodgers, and as long as we have Aaron Rodgers, this team is still very interesting. Like, I think we have seven standalone, we're going to get to them, but seven standalone games on the schedule. I think we had six or seven last year. So, like, it's not, the attention on this team isn't going away anytime soon. Like, it's still, and we're Jets fans, we know this, but it's still a very interesting, even to outside other fans, like, is this not one of the most interesting teams in all of football?
Just to see, like, how Rodgers does, let alone everything
exactly.
else.
Is... Yeah, like the defense being amazing, like the new Wilson, Breece, like there are so many interesting parts about this football team. So yeah, we were always probably going to get a week 1 primetime matchup. I would have liked it to have been Sunday Night Football, but that's, you can't always get what you want. Monday Night Football, we get the flashbacks, but look, I mean, what happened to Rodgers was just purely unlucky. Like, it's not like it's going to happen again just because we're playing on Monday Night Football. Don't quote me on that.
Jets are a famously lucky team, so, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, synonymous with being lucky. The matchup itself, I would say we start out 0-1. I mean, I think it's going to be a really good game. I don't see us getting blown out, but, like, you would like to have seen just – I'm looking at Salah and Hackett versus Shanahan and that coaching staff. And that doesn't inspire confidence in me.
Yeah.
And just what Shanahan's going to be able to draw up, not only on offense, and just, I don't know. You would like to have seen them later in the season, but
he's going to put Chuck Clark in a blender. I don't like it.
Yeah. But you know what? This is the healthiest we're going to be against our best opponent. Yeah.
So you catch him off guard before the Niners even figure it out. I'm still putting this down as a loss for me.
And if you're the I am too. But if you're the Niners, you're going in and you don't know what the Aaron Rodgers Jets look like. You have no idea. So, like, there is certain advantages about getting this game out of the way early. But
we know what Aaron Rodgers is like. So
yeah, I do think Rodgers recently against, I know Rodgers all time against San Fran is, I think he's 6-4 and he got like a 20-2 touchdown interception ratio. But like, just over these last, I think he's 1-4 over the last five against them. So we'll see. It's a new team and he's got a good roster and he's got the best defense he's ever, maybe besides his Super Bowl year, the best defense he's ever had. So could be a different, I think we start out 0-1, but I don't think this is impossible for the Jets.
Now week 2 and week 3 have pretty two winnable games. We'll start with week 2. Just kind of go rapid fire here with some of these non-primetime games. The Tennessee Titans has been what's on the schedule. A lot better this year. I believe in Will Levis. They have maybe the best trio of wide receivers in the AFC, if we're being honest. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, and Tyler Boyd. That is nothing to shake a stick at, but new coach. I don't love their defense. Mm-hmm. This should be a game, even though it's on the road. I feel like they win this game.
Yeah, I think I'd put Houston slightly above them in the terms of wide receiver trio. But I think this is a winnable game. I think Levis is going to improve, but there's still a lot. This is a game that that I like how it's early in the season, because usually with quarterbacks you draft, and this is a take I'm stealing from somebody, but like, we know if a quarterback is going to be good year two. By like Thanksgiving, that's usually when we know about what they are. I don't really know what Will Levis is yet, because I see a lot of just wild tendencies, and that's part of what made him a good prospect, I guess. But there is talent there. Like, he beat, you know, came back against Miami last. He had some good wins last year.
He's got an arm. No one doubts the arm.
No, and not a great supporting cast, at least last season. And now he's got Tony Pollard. He's got Calvin Ridley. He's got Hopkins. He's got Tyler Boyd. So it's like, now what's the excuse, really? And they drafted J.C. Latham. They added to the O-line. Like,
offensive coach Brian Callahan.
Yeah, I like that hire. I love that hire, by the way, for the Titans. I
like how he got his dad to be the O-line coach.
That's really cool. Yeah. That's a cool thing. And this is a winnable. I think the Jets go 1-1 here. I would have liked – it's good that we see them this – at least if this schedule is confirmed and it's correct for Matt O'Leary, we see them this early in the season. I like the matchup here. I think the Jets – 1-1 at this stage in the season.
And then after that, it's the first of their two games. I'll kind of lump both of these in together, because it's the first of their two games against the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. And oh, how the tables have turned. Patriot, yeah. Welcome to hell, Patriots fans. Now yeah. You're dealing with quarterback uncertainty and drafting guys, and welcome to how the rest of us schlups used to watch football for 20 years.
God.
Now, I'm a Drake May stan, so okay. I was pissed that Washington made the unforgivable move of taking Jaden Daniels over, and I don't know why they did that. That's for another day. I honestly don't think they'll start May right away.
No.
And I think they'll start Brissett. Now, Brissett tore up the Jets with Washington last year. He played pretty well, but that's a game that they should still win with or without Megs. I think probably the second game of the year, I think May might be starting over Brissett. Big arm, like his talent. I like Jalen Polk too, but this is a rebuilding team in year one of a long rebuild. And for the first time in a while, this is a division game the Jets should win pretty handily.
Yeah, I think they win. I think they win this one. This is supposed to be a Thursday night football. I think they win this one. I think they win both against the Pats.
So we're 3-1 already. That's not bad.
Which I can't even I can't remember the last time we've done that. I'm sure it hasn't been in my lifetime. I'm not sure. We're probably not on the same page with Jaden Daniels and Drake May. I like there are things to like about Drake May, but it's kind of like there's a lot that's unfinished. I hope we see him in week three. I think Brissett in week three is going to be a more scary matchup for the Jets than Drake May would be. I think we will see Drake May by the time we get to Halloween. So maybe we will see Drake May in that second matchup. But this look, as you said, like welcome to the basement of the AFC East, New England Patriots. Like this is now you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with trying to develop quarterbacks, and they have like there's still not a lot. I love Jalen Polk. I love Javon Baker. I love those picks they made at receiver, but like there's not a lot of talent on this Patriots offense. It's young players. And who knows? I didn't love the Jerod Mayo. I thought the Jerod Mayo thing was a little lazy. Like I know a lot of people in that building are like, oh, he's like Bill Jr. But like if you want to move on from Bill Belichick and that era and that style of coaching, don't hire his protege.
I guess, but who's going to take that job of like, who wants to follow Bill Belichick? If you're a stand-up guy, you don't want to follow Richard Pryor. You want to
you're right. But it wouldn't have been a coveted job, but like, I think they could have got someone instead of, I didn't love the Jerod Mayo, but I think we do win two against the Pats. I think we win at least one, probably two against the Pats this season. So I'd go Jets 3-1 right now.
All right. And then after that, we get another one. One of the teams I'm starting to not like a lot for some reason, that's the Denver Broncos, because Sean Payton, who for some reason only got to one Super Bowl despite having 15 years of prime Drew Brees, and yet regarded as this elite coach, also was apparently the fact he thinks his crap doesn't stink more than any other coach.
Yeah.
And look, Russell Wilson was... I mean, he wasn't great, but he was not bad last year.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Really wasn't.
Yeah.
So to just act like he's, the problem for everything, to ditch him with full support of ownership, and now you got Bo Nix, tough-ass division with Chiefs and Chargers, and that's a tough division you got to go through.
Yeah.
Defense is still, with no Justin Simmons, I don't think that's going to be a very good defense. They have the dead cap at the next 2 years. Denver's another rebuilding team. And
yeah.
I know the Jets have seemingly played Denver every single year for a couple years now. It's like how they always used to play the Raiders and the Jaguars when they were terrible. And like end of Rex kind of era.
Yep.
But they got to beat Denver again. I know going to Denver is typically a house of horrors, but luckily they're at home this time where people never get hurt at MetLife. So
No. The amazing terrifying. Do we sit Vera Tucker for this game? Do we just tell him like, hey.
He got hurt the other time.
I think it was Brees, Vera Tucker in 2022 and just Vera Tucker last year. But I, this is a rebuilding team. This is a game that we should win, especially at home. I didn't know what to make of the Bo Nix. Bo Nix is something that I had mocked, but like I wasn't really sure what to make of it. I understand why Sean Payton likes him a lot because he was a 5-year starter in college, but like, and he's coming in age 24 and he's kind of almost a finished. Not a finished product, but he's the easiest to like in terms of him versus Drake May. Like, there's a lot to like about Bo Nix. Where like with Drake May,
higher floor, lower ceiling.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. But I do think this is the Jets. I know we're getting towards 4 o'clock here, so I'll try to be a little more concise here. But I think the Jets are. I think they win this game and 4-1 for New York Jets. They've won it 2 years straight. So let's make it a third.
And now we got Minnesota across the pond in London. My family's originally from Fulham and Hammersmith in London, so back home, technically. Nice. I know we got the most Italian show ever with two extremely Italian last name guys with Mike.
Oh, yeah.
British mixed in there.
Yep.
I got this as another win, irrespective of the starting quarterback, because you're either getting Sam Darnold, who we know well. We know what he's about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be gaslit into thinking he was, for some reason, better than Brock Purdy, like people said last year. That was weird. That was extremely
weird. I know.
J.J. McCarthy, who I just didn't like as a prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got the Zach Wilson phenotype, and he just never threw the ball. So I'm really not high on McCarthy. Mm-hmm. This should be a win. Well, Justin Jefferson. Well, that's why he gets Sauce Gardner for moments like this.
Yeah,
Minnesota's pretty much said they're in a rebuild. Well, not a rebuild, but a retooling. So I think this should be another win for the Jets.
I agree. Sauce did a great job against. I think he held Jefferson to 46 yards in his rookie season in 2022. That game we played, that heartbreaking loss with Mike White starting.
Oh, and Berrios dropped it. Yeah, you're right.
Yes, he did. Yeah, I think this is another win. I feel like by the time we get to this, I'm gonna say the Jets are going 15-2. But I think
let's test that theory.
Vikings is a game that we should probably win. I mean, no matter who's the starting quarterback, Sam Darnold is. Look, we kind of know what he is at this point, right? He's a bridge quarterback. He's a good backup, and he's a low-end starter. That's what he is. I think year one, J.J. McCarthy, he could be pretty good. I just don't think he's going to be starting by, what is this, week five?
Week five.
So I don't think he might be. It depends what Sam Darnold does. It depends what Sam Darnold does in his first year and how much they want to rush McCarthy in. But the Vikings are kind of like they were by far the best situation that any quarterback in his class could have been taken into. You have Justin Jefferson, you have Jordan Addison, you have a tight end, you have a left tackle, like and one of the brighter offensive head coaches in all of football. So I don't think McCarthy is gonna. I think for him to bust and for also Sam Darnold to play poorly, like a lot of other things are gonna have to happen. So I think this will be still a pretty good offense and a defense that is improving, that improved last year. I mean, I know they were horrible in 2022, even when they won 13 games, they were a horrible defense. Like, it was improving last year. I think it'll get better this year. They added some pieces. So this won't be an easy win, especially you're traveling across, you know, you're traveling overseas. So I will give it to the Jets. We got them at, I think 5-1 now, two wins against the Pats.
Well, let's see. Will they go 6-1? Because now we got the Steelers coming up who love their defense. Russ is a major upgrade over Kenny freaking Pickett. Don't trust people from the Jersey Shore. I've said that my entire life. I've always lived by that mantra, and Kenny Pickett proved me right again. Shout out Ocean County. But I'm not – this one's tough because I feel like the Steelers honestly might win this one just because every year I think this is going to be the year the Steelers just give up and then Mike Tomlin fights his way to 10-7.
So, yeah.
I feel like he's going to do that again this year.
Yeah, I think I'll probably hand this one to the Steelers. I don't know what they're going to do in terms of – like, if I had to predict how many games Wilson's going to start versus how many games Fields is going to start and who is going to be the quarterback of that team next year, I really have no idea. But in terms of this season, I think Wilson's walking into a somewhat decent situation. He's got some receivers. He's got Pickens. He's got a pretty good run. He's got, you know, Harris and Jaylen Warren. They have good tackles. So I think the situation is pretty good. Away in prime time is a tough place to play. Playing in Pittsburgh is a tough place to play. So I'll mark this as a loss for the Jets. But I do think the Jets are overall a better team than Pittsburgh. But just this game specifically, I can imagine Pittsburgh.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
What about Houston? Think they're going to replicate last year, or just C.J. Stroud and Stephon Diggs, who Sauce Gardner's like, that's the Stevie Johnson to his Darrell Revis for some reason. So
is this at home? Jets are home.
This one is at home. Short week to Thursday.
Yeah, I'll give this one to Houston.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Because I think we're going to need to throw, like, you know, as much as I like to think the Jets, hey, the Jets have a better roster than the Texans. As much as I like to think that, like, Houston, I've already seen it from them. I've seen them be a productive team, and who knows how much better Stroud is going to get. Like, Stroud might be at the level of guys like Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson next year. So, like, and he's already arguably – you can make the argument he's already there. So I think I'll give this one to Houston here.
And Arizona, this is a game they should win. And now I've defended Kyler Murray through a lot. He gets a lot of unfair slander.
Yep. But
He's not the problem. He's actually good. It's just Arizona's got like not they got him, Marvin Harrison, and a bunch of nothing. So
yeah,
they'll probably be better next year. But this is still a rebuilding team. They should beat, even if it's on the road.
Yeah, I love me some Kyler Murray, but I think the Jets get this done here. I think they're simply the better team, and they're going to overwhelm that Arizona offensive line.
I also love Anthony Richardson, but I just can't. I think Anthony Richardson he's going to be a tough ass for this Jets defense too, because or rather he might struggle against it just because big arm, big playmaker. Mm-hmm. He actually can read the field really well, but I just think there's a lot of, this is not the team. This is not like a get right game for basically a rookie quarterback because he barely played last year. This is not going to be a get right game for him.
Yeah. He really only played like 3.5 games last year.
He was good when he played. He got hurt.
Yeah. The completion percentage was low, but like just the certain throws we saw and the certain plays that he would make. I think
crap.
Yeah, sometimes we struggle, no matter how good the defense is, sometimes we do struggle with those running quarterbacks. Like we kind of just like let them do their thing. I think the Colts are gonna be a really good team. Is this at home for the Jets?
Yes.
And this is prime time, isn't it? I think this is Sunday night football.
Sunday night. I don't know why. It doesn't seem like a Sunday game, but whatever.
I'll give this one to Indianapolis. I'm high on the Colts this year, and I think they're gonna. If we went through Indianapolis' schedule, I think I would probably toss this one to them. So I will give this one to the Colts here.
We're at 6-3 now. Still not bad. Mm-hmm. Seattle, the Geno Smith Bowl for the Seahawks. God. This should just be a win only because it's kind of an Arizona thing where Geno Smith's still fine, but they're tearing down everything else around him. So. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how much firepower Seattle's really got. I mean, on offense, they do. Defense, I think of Mike McDonald from the Ravens, but still a tough ask, I think, for Aaron. If he's Aaron Rodgers, that's a tough ask for this defense.
Yeah, I do like the McDonald's hire. Usually I'm not a proponent of hiring a defensive head coach, especially considering just where the NFL is going in general. But this is one that I liked. But for this game, I'll take the Jets. I think just their defense is going to be able to handle what Geno gives them, and they'll get this one done here.
So we're at 7-3 now. We got four more teams left. One of them being Jacksonville, the Jaguar. Every year there's always a quarterback that I call the "Do you know ball test?" And for a while it was Kyler Murray. It was Dak Prescott recently. I feel like now it's Trevor Lawrence. Mm. Your opinion on Trevor Lawrence directly corresponds to how much you know ball.
Okay.
And I think he's really good.
Yeah.
And I think he was 8-3 last year, and then he got hurt. Remember, he had to walk back with no cart, and then he regressed, and that's why they missed the playoffs, but he's really good. And
I think
Calvin Ridley that'll hurt. But that defense ain't bad. He's got players. ETN's still good. Like Jaguars, they might win the South again, which that's a tough foe for the
Yeah, the AFC South has got so much, but it went from being a joke like 2 years ago to now there's three really good teams. Yeah, and all these young quarterbacks. So I think I'd put Lawrence on like the fringe top 10. He's probably like the 10th best quarterback. If I had to list him out, I'd put him in like the 10th best quarterback, 11th best quarterback in football. But like, I think the Jets get this one done.
I think so too.
I think they win this game. I've seen them. I mean, they played well against Lawrence, 2 seasons ago, even how dreadful that game was to watch.
That was Trevler, was that game, right?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
It was almost wide open. He throws it probably 20 yards behind him.
Yeah, but I'll mark the Jets here. What is that? 7-3, I think?
8-3, yeah. So the Rams, the Mike LaFleur Bowl. Mike LaFleur's coming back. Mm. This one, I think the Rams will win only because
I do too.
They'll exact revenge for the Frank Gore game that cost him Trevor Lawrence. Stafford's still balling. Cooper Kupp will be better this year. Puka Nacua, what a year he had. They got a really good running game, too, I think will set him apart. Because Kyren Williams and Blake Corum, that's a hell of a 1-2 punch. And I think it'll be – because the Jets' run defense, that's the problem on their defense.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a little problematic, especially McVay, who's so creative with the running game.
Yeah, I can imagine him giving – I can imagine the Rams giving us more problems on our defense than any other team we face this year.
Like really?
I can see that happening. So I think McVay is the smartest. I think he's the best football mind in the game right now that we have.
Yeah, him and Shanahan.
Exactly, him and Shanahan. there's four players left from the Frank Gore game. You might be right about that. Brian might be right about that in the comments. I think I'll give this one to the Rams. Like the run game. Yeah, the only problem for this Jets defense last year was the run defense. And that could be a Kyren Williams just came out of nowhere last season. It was just one of the better running backs in all of football. So I think the Rams do give them some problems. They added to their defense. They added in the first round of the draft. They added in free agency. So I'll give this one to the LA here.
And then now we got our two more division games, or two more division opponents. So four games left. Buffalo. They won't sweep Buffalo, but they'll split with Buffalo.
I agree.
I feel like even though for some reason Josh Allen struggles against the Jets.
He does.
More than any other team. He just has enough of that super crazy, like cavalier style of play where every now and again he just goes off and he gets like 400 yards and five touchdowns. And that's in there and it's going to happen because it's Josh Allen and he does that. I think they split games like that. I think they lose in Buffalo and then they win in New York.
Same page. Yeah, I think as good as we are against Josh Allen, he always has. I think he's the second best quarterback in all of football behind, of course, Mahomes. Like
Lamar, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's close for me with that, but I think I'd put Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen gets a little too much shit for the amount of touchdowns he puts up for Buffalo. I know I understand the turnovers are there, but for the amount of he leads the league in total touchdowns.
Well, he doesn't have an offensive line or a number two receiver. You got to try some crazy stuff.
And what do you think of their receiving core in general that's going into this year with Keon Coleman and those guys? Yeah,
I didn't. I don't know how that happened on the screen there, but yeah, that's what I think. Keon Coleman, good prospect, not like NFL ready because he's a very limited sort of player.
Yeah,
but they'll be figured out because Josh Allen, he'll figure it out. Like we were always saying, Aaron Rodgers will figure stuff out with the Jets. They'll figure stuff out.
Yeah, I think our last one
here, Miami. Who now that the Patriots are bad, I feel like Miami might be my most hated team only because of some of the fans. Too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, do they have? That's an opinionated fan base, I'll say.
Yeah.
I think we split there just because Tyreek, Jalen Waddle, they're gonna get behind you. Mm-hmm. Don't care who you are, it's gonna happen. Now the defense is better this year. That's what'll save them. Because last year you could just get into shootouts with them, and eventually Tua would mess up. Can't do that this year. So I think they split, and that's what, an 11-6 record. I'll take 11-6.
Yeah.
After how many 4-12s I've sat through, I'll take 11-6.
I would do unimaginable things to watch this team in the playoffs. So I will take 11-6.
All the high school, all the college didn't get one playoff game.
No. Yeah. Going into college, I was like, just give me one good season of Jets football. And here I am.
I got 2015 was my freshman year. That was it.
Oh man. We didn't even make the 10-6 missing the playoffs.
They still hate you, Kimbrel Tompkins, if you're watching. God.
He was the one. But yeah, 11-6. I think we're on the same page. I think they get a. Do you think they win the division at 11-6?
Yes.
I think so too.
Barely, like tiebreaker stuff.
Maybe a tiebreaker. Buffalo goes 10-7. I think Miami wins 9 or 10.
That's what I think it is. So thank you guys for watching the Jet Press podcast as we have predicted an 11-6 record. Thanks to special guest host Mike Giaraputo.
Of course.
We're filling in for Justin Fried. Where can guys find you on social media, Mike?
They can find me at Mike Giaraputo. Just no spaces, no dash, no underscore, just at Mike Giaraputo. And I'll be back up probably co-hosting some shows in June for ESPN Radio 104.5, the team.
So check him out on ESPN 104.5. I am Mike Luciano. As always, make sure to check us out on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We're on all those sites, YouTube at the Jet Press. That's where you can subscribe. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Jet Press podcast. We'll see you guys next week.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.